The Rod and Staff podcast comes out of the host's passion for Christ and his church. It exists to encourage a deeper engagement with issues that pertain to doctrine and life. Check us out at rodandstaff.org.
Welcome to this episode of the Rod and Staff podcast. I am your host, Roger Bayramian, along with my co-host, Jason Matosian. And today, we're going to talk about this pandemic that we're all experiencing. We live in very strange days right now with things that are occurring that we've never seen in our lifetime, things we're struggling and wrestling with. And we're going to talk about that today and just think through the pandemic and now kind of thinking of phase two of the response of what's been going on around us. But as we start, one of the things I was thinking about, Jason, is as we're thinking about the pandemic or we're all going through it, we're hearing a lot of new phrases that we've never used before. And I want to know, what is one phrase that after this pandemic is over, you hope you never hear the rest of your life?
Bend the curve. I think that's the one. Yeah, we keep hearing it. Bend the curve. And then you feel like we bent the dang curve. What's going on? But yeah, I don't know if there's any good use for bend the curve after this is done.
That's good. I like that. Yeah, if I think about it, there's so many phrases that drive me crazy. I think the phrase that I don't like the most is the most common one we're hearing, and that's just social distancing.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. The two words just shouldn't go together. I mean, inside the church, outside the church, at work, wherever we are, it's just a phrase that's not helpful to us. But
yeah, I like it. I don't like the phrase, but I like that you want to get rid of it. That's right. Yeah. Just to be clear. Yeah.
Well, as we start this episode and start thinking through this topic and thinking through the pandemic, it's been almost 4 months now that we've been going through this. We've talked about this before, and now we're experiencing kind of a surge where we're at in Southern California and lots of responses. It just seems like it's a never-ending thing now. And the news cycle is just talking about this constantly. We're hearing about it. But I think a good way to start off, or maybe a question to think about, is what has been the greatest challenge that you've experienced during this pandemic, thinking both personally and in the ministry?
Yeah, I'll start with ministry just because that's kind of an easier place to start. And that is not being with our people on a regular basis, not being with them in person, has been obviously the greatest challenge. Not being able to see them, not being able, even when we're seeing each other, not being able to see their face and see their responses, you know, whether that's when we're preaching or when we're just interacting. And I'm zoomed out, you know, they're talking about Zoom fatigue. I think, yeah, I've got Zoom fatigue. I don't feel like I have been able to just be kind of casually rest and be with people. Instead, yeah, it's very rushed. Our times together, mm-hmm, are rushed, and we're kind of on edge still. So that impersonal part has been very difficult, a challenge to try and figure out. And then the other big thing, and I've been thinking about this a lot recently, is I feel like we're in a kind of this waiting phase, mm-hmm, this maintenance, yeah, mode. And now that we just don't know when this is going to end, I feel like we need to come out of maintenance mode and really do ministry and work. But that's been a challenge.
Yeah, that's very true. I think that, you know, as you think about connecting with people, both, you know, in person now that we're in church, and then also through Zoom, you know, when you think of our whole church and the amount of people, what do you think is the percentage of those you haven't been able to connect to that you kind of feel like are lost right now in having that personal contact or that impersonal contact that we have right now?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, it's got to be more than 50% of the people that I don't feel like I've connected with on more than an impersonal kind of, yeah, level. Now, again, the nice thing is, you know, all of our elders and even the deacons are doing their best to be interacting. And so it's not left to me. And so from what I can tell, most everyone that was a regular attender in our church is at least in some contact with some of our leadership, which is really important, obviously. In terms of my personal ability to interact with, I'm guessing, I mean, I've been trying hard, but I would still guess 50%. I've just not had any significant connection with, even in the 4 months.
Yeah, there's so many challenges, I think, with when you talk about being rushed. You know, we already talk about how ministry is already busy, but then you get into the time where now you're caring for your family in a different way, you know, children home from school and trying to take care of all those responsibilities and even preparing messages and all that. And then on top of it, you have to connect with people on a different schedule. You can't gather them all together and then talk to 25 people. You have to individually meet with people on a Zoom or make time. And it just seems now it's harder to connect because, I don't know about you, but I'm always thinking about people. And I'm thinking about people who I haven't touched base with and I feel bad. And I'm thinking, okay, how can I schedule all these people and have it regular? I don't want to just say hi and then not talk to them for a month again, but it just feels like the schedule is really hard to adequately touch base with everybody in the way they should have that contact in the church.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like that's really one of the enemy's schemes in this. I don't think this is outside of God's control, but I also think that the enemy is actively trying to use this time. And I put out an email video just today. I don't know if you got a chance to look at it, but in it I was saying, you know, some of you may feel forgotten, and we're not intending that. So please reach out. We want to reach out to you, and we're just struggling right now. It's an eye-opening time for us because it shows us the inadequacies in our kind of overall structure as a church and ministries. We're seeing where the gaps are. We're seeing really the importance of membership, by the way, that I think that's jumping out at us. So it's a good thing to be learning and be exposed, but it's also in the middle of this thing, it's hard to remedy it. And so I think we're trying, but that is a challenge. I don't know. Are you finding that that's the biggest challenge too, is that impersonal stuff?
Yeah, I'm okay with the Zoom. I don't necessarily enjoy it, but I've got used to it. And I find that if I can see a person, it's much more personal than a phone call. Sure. And so it's helpful to see the person and then I can still connect with people and have that one-on-one. I meet with a lot of people at a coffee shop or over dinner, and that's the best connection. Yeah. But I look at it like we live in a day and age that we have technology. So we can use this technology to connect, that it's actually a blessing to have. So it's not ideal, but maybe it doesn't need to be ideal to be effective. We just got to use what we have in front of us right now.
And Roger, that last statement about, you know, it doesn't have to be ideal to be effective is so important for us. And this is one of the things I'm learning is, well, I'm always looking forward to the comfortable, the ideal, the perfect setting. That's what I want. But there really is no perfect setting, and it's never meant to be just easy and comfortable. And there's a lot gained when it's not comfortable. I think back to when we first started meeting as a church in that Amigo building, in the afternoons, and it was really hot sometimes in that building because we didn't realize the air conditioning wasn't working or whatever it was. And you know, my dad, I remember, told me, you're going to look back on those days with a lot of affection. You're going to miss those days, because in those days you experienced a real commitment from the body. People just wanted to be together, even though the circumstances weren't ideal. And so there's something about this pandemic that by struggling through the non-ideal, right, we're going to grow in ways that we couldn't grow otherwise. And so that's a good thing.
So jumping on that and thinking about this growth, I mean, let's look at the positives of it. How can God use this to help us grow in our walk, to help us grow with one another, to not waste this opportunity that we have before us? and to actually find how God can use it in our lives.
Well, I love the fact that we have to be intentional now in contacting each other, don't we?
Yeah,
right.
That's true.
Like you said, we're not just running into each other at church. We don't have that time that everyone just shows up, and so we can interact with different people each week. If you want to interact with someone now, you got to pick up the phone, or you have to send an email, or you have to text someone. You have to make an intentional decision to reach out to somebody. And that's a big deal. And that hopefully is convicting our hearts that, wow, you know, these are members of my family that I haven't seen or talked to. I better get on that.
Yeah, that's really good. I like that intentionality is so true. It's not easy to meet. You can't just miss church and, you know, miss going. We have a hard time even being able to go to service. You know, it's a blessing that we get to meet now. And that's different than just being so used to it. We're not being, you know, served now. We're serving others by reaching out to them. And I think that's one area that we can all grow in, is seeing that we're to help others and to serve other people. It's not about us and our growth even. It's about the body, and it's about others and how we can help them in this time with what they're going through.
I really do think that this pandemic has forced Christians to think more carefully about the importance of the local church.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all forced in some ways into this bedside Baptist mindset. We were watching on TV or whatever, but that's not church. Yeah. That's not the way the body of Christ is meant to be. And so we have to find ways to interact, to connect, to serve each other, to use our gifts. Yeah. You know, if your gift is hospitality, how do you use that today? You know, if your gift is, encouragement, well, if you're not seeing each other face to face all the time, you've got to be creative. Some people have been sending letters. Some people have been sending just notes of encouragement to one another. Some are texting encouragement. Some are just, you know, this is what we have to do, because our call to be the body and to one another in various ways doesn't come to an end because we're in the middle of a pandemic.
So,
I don't know. How else do you think, these challenges have caused us to grow, or how can they cause us to grow?
Well, I think my favorite question that, you know, is always something I say is, you know, when we're responding in life, what is it saying about our heart? What is it saying about what's going on inside, what's being exposed in our lives right now? Because God is using all circumstances to do that, to change us. And so what is this time teaching about our own hearts? What would you say, you know, when you look at how you've responded, how have you responded? What is it saying about your own heart? What if you, or maybe I should put it like this, what are you learning that you maybe thought, okay, I struggle with this a little bit, but now it occurs so often that you're like, oh, okay, God, now I really know I'm wrestling with something that I thought wasn't a big deal, but it's bigger than I thought.
Yeah. I mean, the issue of comfort that we talked about already, that's a big one for me. Or I guess the way I would describe it is I realized a number of episodes ago, we talked about contentment and living in the moment. And you know, even the Providence talks that we did a while back, we were reminded that God creates the appointments that we're going to have. And, you know, we should stop thinking of things as interruptions, you know.
Yeah.
I realize all of that I can talk about. Living it is in the middle of this has been more challenging, and it's exposing that. And I'm grateful. So one of the things that, you know, I'm home, I work out of the house, and my kids are home, and I've got to make sure that they're eating. I've got to make sure that they're not just vegging in front of the television all day. And so my efficiency has taken a hit, and that creates frustration and anger. And I find myself going, wow, why is that in you? Like, how could you react to, you know, someone knocking on the door or a phone call like that? Mm-hmm. That is so unbecoming of God's people. And so it really is exposing some of that, selfishness even.
Yeah.
In my heart. Yeah.
Have you had those moments where you're getting upset at your kids and then next moment you got to take a call from a church member and
never. What? I would never get upset at my children.
You're much further along in your sanctification than I am.
clearly not, because I'm lying like so. No, absolutely. But apparently you've been dealing with that too. Is that how you're feeling sometimes?
Yeah, I think a couple of different things. I mean, anger is something I've wrestled with, you know, most of my life. And, you know, as I was reading scripture, and I shared this with you earlier this week, I was reading scripture earlier this week in the morning, and I came across Psalm 37:4, and this is what it said. It said, "Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil." And what really hit me was, it wasn't just the fact of anger and wrath. That's the beginning part, you know, refrain from it, stop. You can actually choose to stop at that moment and forsake it. But it was the next part, fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. And how often there's so much anger built up at the decisions being made that impact our lives, that impact the world around us, the economies, the schools, our jobs, our church, our families. And it's so easy to get caught up and start fretting and to become angry. And then I notice that I become very judgmental and I'm thinking ill of people and not praying for people. And so I felt just a conviction of that coming out more easily than it ever has. It's that feeling of being on edge where all of a sudden you're like, why am I getting upset? Why am I losing it? Because I'm not dealing with my heart. I'm not going to the Lord and asking for his help. I'm just living in my flesh more than I need to. And
And I'm seeking control of the moment instead of leaving that control to the Lord who has it. Mm-hmm. And it's funny you're saying that the anger, the fretting and getting upset at, again, the leadership and all that's going on around us. I think what's been exposed, I've often brought up and sort of joking, but serious too, that the anger that I've found in my life has in many ways been limited to like what I would consider like a road rage moment, you know?
Yeah.
Not true. It's not true. These things are bringing up the similar feeling and sensation of, oh, that's just unjust. How dare you do that to me? And then you stop and you think, well, what does that mean? Who am I? How dare I think that way? I hope that we're not wasting this pandemic.
Yeah.
He's trying to sanctify us. He's exposing our hearts and it's a good thing. Again, I'm not saying the pandemic's a good thing. I'm saying, but the exposure that's taking place is good. Any other areas that you're seeing that in?
Yeah, I think that whenever you think of the heart and you think of sins, it's good to also think about sins come in clusters. Mm-hmm. That it's not just one thing you're struggling with. It's not like I'm just struggling with anger. It's clustered with other sins that start to come out in your heart. And I think it's not a worry or anxiety that I struggle with. It's more of just that gnawing sense of uncertainty and wanting to have certainty and pushing back against God's sovereignty. And so instead of submitting to God's sovereignty, I'm just thinking worldly. I'm just thinking, okay, what are the next steps? When is there going to be normal and certainty back so that we can get back to our creature comforts that we enjoy instead of, Lord, let me just submit to you right now. Let me pray. Let me change my ways instead of thinking about this all the time.
And it is exposing something else in the same vein that you're just describing, exposing at least to me that we're not very mission-minded in terms of the Great Commission. We're not very... what am I thinking? Lord, either come and let's be done, you know, take us to glory and the new creation or the new earth or I'm thinking, you know, get us back to the norm rather than, okay, all these worldly things are kind of being filtered, and there's a call still. And maybe we can sense the urgency of that call now more than ever and focus there. But we're so not commission oriented people. Maybe in the United States, maybe it's just me. I don't know. I know there are some people that are still very focused in the right way, but it's been exposing that to me that do I know why I've been created and called?
Yeah.
To bring him glory. And that's not based on the circumstance. That's my calling regardless of the circumstance. And so that's been really convicting for me mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah. And I think also just thinking that, you know, our suffering is very limited.
Right.
In what we're going through here, when we think about suffering in other places of the world where they have suffered. I mean, we don't want to downplay that many people are suffering with loss of jobs and many other areas that people are suffering. But the things we're talking about that we're going through, at least in our lives, are very minimal when we think about it. It's the, I'm not comfortable in this. I want something different and I want it in my time. You know, this should have only lasted a month and we need to be over this. It's kind of like the, you know, we want to be God. We want to play his sovereignty and we want to build our kingdom. Mm-hmm. And then we code it with, well, our kingdom is going to church and worshiping the Lord. Yes, but at the same time, that's what we want. But are we submitting to, okay, God, what do you want us to do right now, regardless of how long this is going to last? My biggest concern when I talk to people in the body and I talk to others is this lack of focus on how does God want us to walk forward and use the time instead of thinking, okay, we don't like this, you know? Right. I mean, of course we don't like a lot of things we have to do, but it doesn't mean that we still can't meet together. Like when we go to church and we have to wear a mask, we still get to meet.
That's right.
You know, and do all that. So it's,
yeah, I've been thinking about, you know, what would it be like to be in the persecuted church somewhere where it's illegal to meet and gather openly, and they're, every time they meet, they're hiding. Yeah. Every time they meet, it's hard. I remember in Iran, there was some people I was talking with, and they wanted to do baptisms. They had somehow in their apartment, you know, built a baptismal pool that they would cover, and it would be in their living room. And, you know, what would we do? You know, we're so used to comfort, so used to freedom, so used to all these things that these little, I'm going to say little when they're compared to the bigger things, but they're these little inconveniences have caused us to become very irritable, very angry with each other even. And I know that from my own mindset, my own heart.
And one other thing I think of it too, that is a warning to us, or to be careful of, is that we shape other people, that the way we're responding is shaping how that other person is responding. And I find that when I go down that rabbit trail of being pessimistic or upset, I'm causing the other person to, and that other person. And when we do that, we're not realizing that we're leading them down a path that's not good either. We're not leading them back to the Lord. We're leading them back to just fleshly thinking and desires. And we don't take, I think, serious enough of our impact on one another just by the words we say. Expose our heart, as Jesus said, the heart, the mouth speaks. Yep. But those words then impact the next person and the next person we're interacting with. And that's why I think church is so important right now. We need that encouragement every single week, because we're so jaded right now, day by day.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we keep hearing again and again is, when are we going to get back to normal? When are we going to get out of this? When are we going to, instead of, how can we serve the Lord today? We may never, I don't think it's true, but we may never get out of this, okay? Yeah. I do believe we will, but we might not. Does that mean now we remain jaded the rest of our lives, the rest of our existence? Is that what the Lord would have of us? And I think we're kind of coming to a realization it's going to be a little longer than we expected. Yeah. Okay. It's already longer than we expected. And so, but that doesn't mean ministry and life as God's people, as witnesses, as sojourners, exiles ends. Yeah. Now we've got to go out and do far more than we ever imagined. And I think it's going to be fruitful. I really do. The Lord is at work.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah. I mean, I always think of it as, you know, all we hear on the news is a negativity. We'll never see on the news what the Lord is doing. We're only going to hear That's it right. as we share with one another and in what God is doing. And that kind of leads to, I guess, our last question as we get ready to wrap up here. We'll use this as our takeaway of, you know, what's been one highlight? I think one highlight of this pandemic over the last 4 months, what has encouraged you during this time?
Yeah. Well, it's been a couple of different conversations with some of the men in the church that I was able to talk to, and they explained in conversation that the material things of this world were really starting to fade for them. And that was worth it. I, when I think about that, when they said to me, you know, Jace, this is reminding us that these things are earthly and they don't really matter. That encouraged my heart deeply. So I would say in many ways a highlight for me. How about you?
To think about it, I think that the opportunity we had to do the baptism in our church.
Yeah, that was great.
Few of us there to witness that and to see that ministry wasn't stopping, that we were going to modify and still be able to celebrate what the Lord had done in someone's life. And to hear that testimony was so refreshing in a time that has just been difficult for many, for all of us, but to be reminded that the Lord is working in the heart and that passion of that person wanting to be baptized was great to see.
Amen. Absolutely.
Well, we talked and thought about this topic. There's much more we could think about with the pandemic, but we hope you all enjoyed this episode of the Rod and Staff podcast and that you will subscribe. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service that you use. We hope you will join us next time.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Rod and Staff podcast, please subscribe and share with others. For more information or to contact the host with questions or comments, please send email correspondence to feedback@rodandstaff.org. That is feedback@rod, the letter N, staff.org.